This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, our Congress is still waiting for answers on the FBI's Russia investigation, and in a new op-ed calls on the agency's director to explain how the investigation started in the first place, comparing the probe to Watergate. Our next guest asks, what did the FBI know and when did it know it? Bill McGurn wrote that in Wall Street Journal. He's also a Fox News contributor. Good morning to you.
Hi.
You know what? These are troubling days for the FBI, aren't they?
They're very troubling days. Look, every day we learn something new, and it doesn't look good. And the interesting thing is we have two investigations, two scandals, Hillary Clinton email, right. Russia investigation. And it's the same cast of characters in both investigations.
And one of the things you say in your op-ed is, you know, we've got Director Christopher Wray. He's been very clear. I'm going to do everything I can to help Congress. And
he's been in his statement.
That's what
he's
said.
Very clear.
But he's playing a double game.
Right. He made an end run around them early on this year when he went to the Speaker's office to try to prevent, you know, coughing up information. Chairman Nunes had subpoenaed. And I think also at a hearing in December, he kind of suggested that he couldn't share this information with Congress because right. It's classified. It just gets the arrangement backwards. You know, the FBI and every federal agency is accountable ultimately to we the people acting through our elected representatives.
One of the other things is you address, we don't know why things got started.
Right.
Ultimately, that's what Congress is trying to get.
Right.
They want to see the, you know, the scope memo. They
right.
want to see the FISA stuff.
Right.
But the FBI and the DOJ say, sorry,
and
that's off limits.
And I think that's a big deal in the sense that this is a story with a cast of thousands. Christopher Steele, Stephen Halper, the different FBI agents, Andy McCabe. But we don't know how it started. And the FBI and DOJ has been very resistant in providing the documents that would let us know how and why this started.
Why is that?
Well, you have to wonder what the, you know, whether what it looks like is that the official start of the investigation, July 31st, was not really the start of the, they were
right.
looking into some
well,
of
the president
Carter,
tweeted something
I mean, Carter,
to that effect out
right,
yesterday.
Right. Carter Page was contacted about a conference where he met Stephen Halper.
Right.
And he was contacted about this in May. Now, it wasn't Halper that contacted him, but, you know, it was a group that he was helping and putting on the conference.
Ultimately, the more, you know, and there are a million, it's like we're putting together a puzzle.
Right.
There are a million pieces on this table, and we've heard a little piece about
right.
here and here and here, and it's starting to all come together, but ultimately, it kind of makes the FBI look really political,
well,
at least somebody there.
If you remember, Devin Nunes has not said what he saw when he read the electronic communication that officially launched the investigation, but he did say it didn't have intelligence in it. It didn't seem to be based on an intelligence product. And that's a troubling question. Also, it should be a big deal to investigate a campaign or get a FISA warrant on an American citizen. And it looks like this was done more casually than should have been.
And there are people around the President of the United States who say this was simply, at its origin,
right.
a brazen plot to doom Donald Trump.
Right. Well, we don't know that, but it's troubling to hear an FBI agent talk about an insurance policy, right?
You know, your dad was an FBI agent
right.
for years.
Right. And so I have a lot of affection for the FBI because I know great men and women that were agents and are agents and so forth. But at the top, this leadership, I think, has just been scandalous.
Chris Wray could fix it today. Just call up those guys in Congress and say, okay, I got them right here. You want to read it? Here it is.
He could. He could do this by being, you know, he gave in his press release, said, I'm doubling the number of staff. That's an input.
Right.
The question is the output. Are you giving us access, right?
And so far, no.
So far, no.
All right. Bill, thank you.
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Well, our Congress, Wall Street Journalist, columnist Bill McGurn reporting on what the FBI knew and when as the controversy continues. And will we ever, ever get to the truth and the bottom line of the matter? This is one of those situations where the cancer could be so deep. I wonder if America is ready to deal with the truth on this or not. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up. Stay with us.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. We're going to be talking next with the author of The Existentialist Survival Guide, How to Live Authentically in an Inauthentic Age. Are you gathering that? I think that this is what we have at the very forefront of our culture. The challenge we have right now is the breakdown in integrity. When you let go of those pinions, those anchoring points that determine morality and that which is true in your life, you have the 21st century America that we have. And of course, this is all coupled with, social media, the information age, where anybody can be a publisher, anybody can be a news reporter, but what kind of news, what kind of information is being put out there? What are we allowing ourselves to be subjected to? Well, Professor Gordon Marino joins us. The professor is with the University of Chicago, University of Pennsylvania, actually. This is where he graduated from, in Columbia University. He is, let me make sure I get everything correctly, his areas of specialization include history of philosophy, philosophy of religion, and Kierkegaard. He's the author of Kierkegaard in the Present Age and co-editor of the Cambridge Companion to Kierkegaard. Professor, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Good to be here.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about this. I mean, you're really, drawing back the curtain and looking at the underbelly of our culture. And at its very essence is, as I see it, is a lack of integrity. What do you say?
Well, I don't know about the lack of integrity to the essence of our culture. Yeah, well, we don't think about it as much as we used to, perhaps. That's for sure. Or think about character development. That's why with my students, I really try to emphasize that in addition to thinking about vocation, what they're going to do, whether, be a lawyer, a doctor, a rock star, whatever, that they need to think about what kind of people they want to be. So I think that's a very important question that I certainly press on my students. What kind of human being do you want to be, and to strive for that, as opposed to what kind of job you want to have?
Why the book, The Existentialist Survival Guide? What motivated you here?
Well, it seems to me I've been working with the existentialist Kierkegaard, Sartre, Camus, et cetera, for about 30 years, and it seemed to me that at this point in my life, I would be able to distill some of the messages that I've received them, some of the wisdom. And if I couldn't do that, I would say something. So I try to combine that with a lot of stories from my life. So it's part intro to existentialism, part memoir.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like the subtitle, How to Live Authentically in an Inauthentic Age. Now, that can be a challenge because, as we see happening continually in our culture, is there is a lot of peer pressure. You can say because of the information age, the power of social media today, to live authentically, to be true to yourself. I remember as a young kid on a public bus in my hometown heading to school, and I looked at a sign, and there was this message, "To thine own self be true."
Mm.
And when I saw that, Professor, I knew there was something rather profound. I think it was probably about 8 years old. And that has haunted me and stayed with me ever since. And that's why I look at it in terms of an issue of integrity. And authenticity has to do, I believe, in the way God has wired us. You know, we have to be true to that calling and who we are made to be. And anything short of that becomes incongruous and conflicting.
Yes, there's not a lot of emphasis on that these days. It's much more on how you present yourself, and you don't even hear the term authenticity. When I growing up in the 60s and 70s, authenticity was a term you heard a lot, but you don't hear it that much today.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but when it, with respect to that, it's there's and we talk a lot about self-fulfillment, happiness, seven steps to this, eight steps to that
right.
kind of thing, you know, but not about. So it's not clear to me that a lot of people believe there's some self they were born to be, you know. So one question is do you think there's a self that you were made to be, that God made you to be, or do you think the self is something you create over the course of your lifetime, a kind of artistic project?
You know? Well, you're in such an opportune position as a professor. You're dealing with students on a daily basis. You know, I really envy you to be able to have that kind of interaction because...
It's really a gift. It really is.
And such a blessing. I mean, because you're there, right there, talking.
I'm also a coach.
Exactly. So what are the kids? How are the kids responding to you? I say kids. I mean, these are young adults.
I guess some of them would be called millennials, 19, 20, something like that. And I think there's a real thirst for a different language to think about your inner life in terms of not as opposed to. Yeah, medicalizing it, and you know, every perturbation is a symptom or a disease, or in terms of, you know, some methodology for figuring out how to maximize your happiness or fulfillment. I think they really do have a craving for something, a different language, a different vocabulary to think about their inner lives in.
Mm-hmm.
So it resonates very much with them.
Well, one of the things that came up, particularly this morning, Professor, was the idea that maybe this millennial generation and the Z generation coming up next is that they've been a bit coddled. And in that coddling process, they've just not been able to learn from, the tough lessons that life, you know, can bring to us. You know, we just don't want our children to experience pain. We think that there's such a thing as a pain-free existence.
That's right.
And that's just a huge lie, isn't it?
Right, and the people, there's certainly a lot of young people that are coddled, and there's also a lot of people out there that don't get any love and are in poverty and all kinds of terrible things, right, and difficult situations. But I think that in order to be a good person, in order to be an upstanding good person, you need to be able to deal with elemental emotions like fear, anger, grief, we don't get much work in the way of workshops and those things these days. And that's one of the reasons I spent, you know, the past 30 years training boxers, because it's in boxing that in boxing you get some practice with dealing with things like fear and anger.
Exactly.
Know, supervised practice. And you're right, most of the kids are coddled and kept away from that. And we need to be able to tolerate those emotions and to be, it's easy to be good when everything's going your way. It's a little bit different. It's a different kind of project when you're feeling terrible or you're anxious, you're scared, it's much harder to be a good, loving human being then.
Well, let me ask you this, Professor, because this also came up today, and that is that, you know, because of the coddled nature, and you know, these kids not knowing what to do about fear and disagreement and conflict, you know, we see an increase in suicide amongst young people. You know, gun shootings, students being murdered at school, and these perpetrators even being so brazen as to record a video saying what it is that they're about to do.
Yeah.
You know, how does this square up with, you know, where we are and where we need to be?
I'm not sure how to address all those issues, though. You know, the coddling issue with the school murders and things like that. Well, there's certainly there's a lack of there's a lot of alienation with kids today. A lot of them are very alienated. I think sometimes aren't getting the nurture. They don't have the family structure. Don't have a lot of support from the family. People are busy. I don't know.
Well, we've got to go to break. So we'll pick it up when we come back.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from a pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security. Maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. radio.recordedvideo.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Bill Martinez.
Grace will lead me home. Grace will lead me home through every trial. I have come. You were the shelter through every
Radio America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, just the way you like us every day, fresh, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Dr. Gordon Marino is with us, A Philosophical Guide to Living Authentically. That is the title of his new book, where you can find greater meaning. And I'm sorry?
It's The Existentialist Survival.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. What am I saying? Because I gave the right title before.
You did.
Yes, The Existentialist Survival Guide, How to Live Authentically in an Inauthentic Age. He is a professor of philosophy, the author of Kierkegaard in the Present Age, and co-editor of the Cambridge Companion to Kierkegaard. Professor, why Kierkegaard?
Because for one important reason is he was one of the first, so he's born in 1813, lived to 1855, a Danish philosopher who's considered the father of existentialism. And one of the things I found most compelling about Kierkegaard was his ability to address emotions like anxiety and depression in a very systematic and clear way, and talk about how to deal with those emotions. And again, today we just throw pills at those things or come up with little, five steps to whatever. So he's very, very, very down to earth in that sense.
Well, in light of course, we got the bad news yesterday. Of Kate Spade and her suicide, the suicide rate at an alarming increasing rate in the general public. We've got 22 vets roughly per day are committing suicide.
Well, it's one in six Americans on psychotropic drugs, something like that. And
yeah.
That's very, very wealthy.
Yeah, so, and you wrote about Kierkegaard in this present age. Apply Kierkegaard to these occurrences that are happening in our culture today, Professor.
Well, in terms of it's hard for me to apply Kierkegaard to the suicide issues. I mean, he certainly talks about that a little bit. But one thing he would say, listen, when it comes to things like anxiety, which not so many people suffer from, he says anxiety is a sign that we're spirits. It's a sign that it's the way we understand that it's an indication that we're free. So a lot of our anxiety is about choice, about having choices, and today we treat it just as a symptom, get rid of it as quickly as possible. And again, that's one of the reasons I work with boxers, because you get a lot of anxiety in boxing and you learn to sit on the couch with it. So I think Kierkegaard is very good for helping us understand to a different understanding of anxiety and also depression.
Yeah, and I want you to talk a little bit more, because you've brought this up a couple of times, and I've been meaning to ask you that here it is, you've discovered some of life's critical answers at the intersection of boxing and philosophy. So square that up for our audience.
Well, you go back to Socrates. Socrates says, know thyself, and you learn a lot about yourself in philosophy, and you learn a lot about yourself in boxing if you stick at it. You learn what you're willing to do to win. You learn about your own fears, your anger. So it's a really good mirror for self understanding.
Right. Unlike a team sport, right? Unlike a team sport.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also one of the things I found is there's a lot of kids who never get any affirmation, and at home, things are rough at home, and they're angry, they go into school, and they just get in more trouble because they're angry, and nobody ever tells them they're good at anything. And so with a number of kids I've had, they get involved in boxing, and then there's a gym there as a family, and somebody finally says, you're good at something, we all need affirmation. And when these kids get affirmation and respect, they blossom sometimes in beautiful ways. So that affirmation makes them less violent, less angry, and helps their talents come out.
Exactly. Well, speaking of affirmation, I like what the Wall Street Journal had to say about your book, The Existentialist Survival Guide. So when it comes to living, there's no getting out alive, but books can help us survive, so to speak, by passing on what is most important about being human before we perish. And as you shared with us earlier, this was your heart, was to, be a bit of an opus. Here's the golden nuggets of life along the way that you've learned, through your own education. And education comes in many forms, right?
Yeah, most of the things I talk about, they were very hard lessons. They were failures on my part in a lot of ways, disappointments and all kinds of things like that, So, but one of the issues you brought up before about to thine own self be true, this sign that inspired you, we need to think about what is that self? So many kids, people today, kids, they think that self is Do I have some talent I need to develop as, you know, or my true self is a rock star or a painter or a writer or whatever. I think we should think more in terms of that true self as something like, you know, the Good Samaritan. It's a quality. It's a kind of integrity and compassion. So we need to think about what that self is.
Right. Well, what the self is and what it is to do, and what you're pointing to is service. If you utilize your gifts to serve others, then I believe you're on a better road to happiness and fulfillment and really true freedom. You know, you mentioned freedom.
Right.
I think that's the ultimate calling of our human experience, is that we would truly realize what freedom is all about.
Connectedness. There's a real lack of connectedness between people today, I think, and kind of intimacy, affection. We don't know how to be with each other sometimes through hard times. Everyone's on their smartphones all the time, hitting like on Facebook. I think there's a degree of alienation there that's difficult.
Well, we're very contentious right now. I mean, it's one thing to be pugilistic to a point to where, okay, you understand your fears and that sort of thing, and maybe there might be some value after everything is said and done, because maybe we're not in a ring, but we're in the cultural landscape and in the public square arguing and fighting and fussing over everything.
Yeah.
But after all is said and done, we're all going through this journey together.
That's right.
I like what Britt Hume said the other night, is that, you know, something to this effect, that you never know what someone is going through, so be kind.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, well, I think that's really important, and one of the things, sometimes we're very judgmental or get angry at other people, and you're right, you never know what they're going through in their lives, I think one of the ways to improve our patience is when we get angry or upset with someone, just imagine, like, they might be going through something you don't know about, right? Like, if you're in the line and someone's taking too long in the grocery store or whatever, you're getting irritated. It's a good thing to remind yourself.
Right. Well, so often in my experience, Professor, and I'm sure this happened to you, is that you're quick to make a determination, and then you find out the reason, as you say, that somebody may be slow in the line is because they just, there is something that is in the way, either mentally or physically, right?
Right. Well, either that or they could be going grief-stricken or whatever.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And then you feel like an idiot because you're so discompassionate.
Yeah. I don't have the imagination to think that somebody could be going through something you don't know about. I think that's right, though. Yeah.
Well, in your book, Existentialist Survival Guide, what do you want your reader to take away here?
Certainly, so there's lessons there on anxiety, depression, the meaning of death, love. So a number of different thoughts. For example, on the issue of love, we always think in terms of wanting to be loved, and one of the things I argue in there is that one of the hardest things is to accept being loved for who you are. I had a friend who had a very difficult marriage, and when his wife died, and after, I called him up and he said, I said, how are you feeling? He goes, well, she loved me for who, and she knew me and she loved me. A lot of time we want to be admired, we want to be loved for being the cool person or whatever, right? And
right.
To be able to accept being loved in our totality and for who we are, and that's quite a challenge. So there are lessons along those lines. Yeah.
Well, it definitely is a great read. It will expand your thinking to the point that it'll take you away from being self-focused. And I think that's always a blessing when we think of others and put others ahead of ourselves. Professor Gordon Marino has been our guest. His book, The Existentialist Survival Guide, available at all the usual places.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you've lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now, with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light. Bursting in living color. I see the world your way. And I'm walking in the light.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, our next guest writes, every one of us sooner or later walks through hell, the hell of being hurt, the hell of hurting another, the hell of cancer, the hell of divorce, the hell of chronic pain, the hell of anxiety, depression, Alzheimer's, a kid in trouble, the hell of reluctant dunking a shovel full of earth upon the casket of someone we deeply loved. The point is not to come out of hell empty-handed. There is real and profound power in the pain we endure if we transform our suffering into a more authentic, meaningful life. The author of this is also the author of the book More Beautiful Than Before, How Suffering Transforms Us. Rabbi Steve Leder is back with us. I always enjoy the rabbi when he's with us because of his insight, as you can tell just from that short paragraph I read to you. And we're going to be talking about, I guess that must be the theme of the day, Steve, because I find myself talking about pain. But pain, it's there for redemption if we choose to accept it. And that's the opportunity, is it not?
It is. In fact, in some ways, in many ways, frankly, Bill, I think it's the only opportunity. You know, I've often pointed out that success doesn't teach us very much. It just teaches us to keep doing more of the same.
Right.
It takes something very profound, very disruptive, sometimes very frightening, to wake us up, force us to examine our lives, and make the important changes that ought to be made. And by the way, you know, given all of the news in this past news cycle,
exactly,
this is true, Bill, not only when we are the victim of pain, But one of the things I talk about in the book, which is unusual in this genre of books about overcoming and bouncing back from pain and becoming resilient, mm-hmm. what's unusual is it. I talk a lot also about what do we do when we're the cause of the pain? Mm-hmm. What do you do when you're right. the betrayer, not the betrayed? What do you do when you're the one who has misled rather than been misled? What do you do when you're the one whose words have hurt another? And that is, you know, I'm just thinking about the slew of apologies that we're hearing all over the news this past week. You know, mm-hmm. Roseanne and Samantha Bee and
Former President Bill Clinton.
Even Bill Clinton, yes. you know, is still at it, not quite getting there, you know. And the power of apology, of sincere apology. What is a sincere apology? And the power of words. Let's accept these mistakes, these painful mistakes, but let's not come away from them empty-handed. Let's learn and let's grow.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what constitutes a sincere apology and repentance.
Yeah.
What does that
yeah.
look like?
Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't look like, first of all. Most people think "I am sorry" are the three most difficult words to say and that constitutes a sincere apology. And I actually don't think so. I am sorry can mean a lot of things. It can mean I'm sorry I got caught. It can mean I'm sorry you feel that I meant something I didn't mean. I'm sorry if you thought I. There's a lot of latitude in I'm sorry. It is not, in my view, a complete acceptance of culpability and responsibility. In my view, far more important and far more difficult are the three words, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong is a complete acceptance of responsibility. And frankly, I have found in my work, you know, as a rabbi, where I've counseled literally thousands and thousands of people through terribly painful, dysfunctional situations in their families and their business, saying I was wrong is the first step on this path to reconciliation and healing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would want to hear, rather than I wasn't my best self, I was on Ambien, what I meant when I said is simply for public figures and for every one of us who's in a relationship with a spouse, with a parent, with a child, with a sibling, with a business associate, even a stranger on the street that we cut off in traffic,
mm-hmm.
to have the maturity and the courage to simply say, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there are other steps to a sincere apology. I was wrong is the first. The second is to actually then verbalize exactly what you mean by I was wrong.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's going to come out of an empathetic heart that puts you in a position that you're putting yourself in the other person's shoes, right?
And yeah,
so
and saying yeah. I was wrong is what opens the door. And mm-hmm. then, you know, I also think it's very important to say, look, if I were on the other side of this, I would be terribly hurt as well. You know, mm-hmm. you have to identify with the victim and the pain that you've caused that victim. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, talk about how this is not going to happen again. What kind of systems are going to be in place? What kind of scaffolding are you going to put in your life so that you can sincerely and honestly look at another person and say, that will never happen again. I was wrong. Here's why I was wrong. I understand your feelings and I don't blame you. And this will not happen again. And that, I think, is a sincere and full apology that actually then creates a different future. You know, we can't undo the past, but we can
exactly.
certainly create a different future. And you know, so much of this comes down to the power of words. I'll give your listeners, who I know are many of them are good religious folk and who, believe in the Bible, and we all know the original language of the Bible was Hebrew. So I'm going to
yes.
tell you something interesting about Hebrew, a word in Hebrew. The word for word in Hebrew is a Hebrew word, davar. I would spell it in English, D-A-V-A-R, davar.
Mm-hmm.
That is the word for word. It is also the word for thing. You know, if you're going to say, hand me that thing, you would say, hand me that devar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that means is that psycholinguistically, in Hebrew, and therefore in, from the perspective of the Bible, words are tangible and real. They are of concrete, three-dimensional importance. You cannot distinguish in Hebrew between the word for word and the word for thing. Another interesting thing, you know, we all know this phrase, abracadabra. There's an essay in my book, More Beautiful Than Before, called abracadabra. Most people don't know that that's actually an Aramaic word that comes from the Talmud, abracadabra, which means I create as I speak. This is where abracadabra comes from. That's why a magician says abracadabra and something happens. It means in Aramaic, I create as I speak. Now let's think back to the book of Genesis. How does God create, right?
Spoke it into existence.
Spoke it into existence. Another example of how concrete and material words really are.
Mm-hmm.
And for people of faith, this is an opportunity to really consider the concrete importance of our words. You know, gossip in the Talmud is tantamount to murder.
Yes.
Because you can destroy a person with gossip. And one of the things people don't really understand about gossip, I often, you know, have had people defend their gossip by saying, well, it's not gossip, it's true. It's actually gossip even if it's true. If it's hurtful to another person.
Exactly.
Shaming of another person. So I think, you know, this has been a week in the news cycle that really, I hope, gives all of us an opportunity to pause and reflect more deeply on the power and the concrete nature of our words and the ability of our words to either hurt or to heal.
Exactly. Rabbi Steve Leder is with us, and we're talking about sincere apology and repentance. And these are great words here. These are words filled with life to heal and advance and to strengthen the inner man in all of us so that we can be that all that God has intended for us to be by his perspective, not our own, right? More from Rabbi Leder after this. Stay with us, America. It's 14, make it 18 before the top of the hour.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906, 800-296-0906, 800-296-0906.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protective building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
We don't see color here. We just love America.
Where this hurt is, you show me what the hero can do. Where this hatred, you show me how kindness can move. Where this fear deep inside.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Rabbi Steve Leder is with us. Newsweek magazine named him one of the 10 most influential rabbis in America. He is the senior rabbi of Wilshire Boulevard Temple in Los Angeles, the author of such critically acclaimed books as The Extraordinary Nature of Ordinary Things, his most current book, More Beautiful Than Before. Transforms us. Before the break, we were talking about the power of words. Devar was the word, the Hebrew word that the rabbi used. The word for word is also the word for things. The words are tangible and real. And we're reminded in the book of Genesis how God spoke the world into existence. And Steve, a step further, is that God made us in His image. We're made in His image, and we're given the power of words as part of this image, this imago Deo, that we're created in, to either build up or tear down.
Yes, we too, Bill, with our words, can create or destroy worlds. We can create or destroy reputations, people's lives, people's careers.
Mm-hmm. Our children.
Oh, my goodness. You know, let's think about the power of words with children for a moment. I think every one of us listening today at some point in our childhood fell down and skinned a knee or fractured a bone or, you know, bumped our head on something somewhere at some point. And, you know, it hurt for a moment and eventually the hurt disappeared and we can't really re-feel or remember that pain.
Mm-hmm.
I would also venture to guess that every one of us at some point in our childhood was teased or bullied or insulted or frightened in some way with words from an adult or another child. And that to this day, a decade or two or three or four or six or eight later, we can still remember. You know, whoever it is that said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, was completely wrong.
Right.
It's exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we lose control over our words. When we use our words to wound, those wounds are permanent. Mm-hmm. For most of us, they remain, you know, permanent scars, permanent wounds. So I'll tell you a beautiful, kind of haunting and yet beautiful story in terms of a way to remember this. I heard this story from a former conductor of the Boston Symphony, and it was about a friend of his, an elderly woman who was a Holocaust survivor. And she said to him, she and her younger brother, who was, I think, 6 or 7 years old at the time, were, you know, pushed into the cattle cars and rounded up, pushed into the cattle cars and shipped off to Auschwitz. And she tells this story of when the cars arrived at the camp, she looked down and her brother had lost his shoes. He didn't have his shoes. And she said to him, "How could you be so stupid to lose your shoes?" You know, she said it out of frustration, the way an older sister might speak to a little brother.
Right.
And then the door opened to the cattle car. They were immediately separated, and she never saw her brother again. He died in Auschwitz. And she said what she learned from that experience is that she would try for the rest of her life to make sure that whatever last words, whatever conversation she had with anyone could be something that she would be at peace with if it was, in fact, the final conversation she would ever have with that person. To treat every conversation as if it may be the last, in terms of your degree of sensitivity and caring and kindness, and in the way in which you measure your words. I think it's a very powerful reminder for us all. And look, let's be clear, Bill, we can't all the time, control our words and control our gossip, but we can limit it. You know, we can limit the number of people we gossip with. We can limit the amount we gossip. And by the way, something quite important and miraculous happens when you watch your words in this way. When you limit your gossip, what you discover is your conversations become far more substantial in your
exactly.
life because you stop talking about nonsense and you start talking about things that really matter. So really controlling gossip makes a big difference in our life. And all of us who think we can't do it, I assure you, if I offered every one of your listeners today $10 million if they gossiped 50% less in the coming year, many of us would find a way to do it, right?
Right,
so
exactly.
We certainly can do it.
And the value of that is really richer than the $10 million, but you won't realize it unless you take on the rabbi's experiment here, even, you know, maybe even telling yourself. But what you're sharing with us here, Steve, is very important, and that is that words are a two-way street. You know,
yep.
They from where they come out and where they land, but you're the one. I mean, if you are the source, that word that you speak, is it a blessing or a curse? And if it is a curse, you're cursing yourself along with the person that you're directing it to, are you not?
Right, right. It reflects badly on you. And by the way, it can't be taken back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a very famous old story. I wish I had invented it, but it's far older than I, about a man in a small village who was insulting the rabbi and gossiping about the rabbi, and he finally realizes the error of his ways, and he goes to apologize to the rabbi. And the rabbi says, "I will accept your apology if you do two things. First, I want you to take a feather pillow into the center of the village, slit it open, and shake out all the feathers, and then come back to me." So the man does as he's told. He returns to the rabbi. He says, "I did what you told me to do. I shook out the feathers in the center of the town." The rabbi says, "Just one more thing I need you to do, and then I will accept your apology. I need you to go back into town now and collect every one of those feathers and put it back into the pillowcase."
Right.
And, of course, the man says, "That's utterly impossible. Can't be done." Yeah. And the rabbi says, "That's the problem with gossip. Once it leaves your lips, it can never be returned." You know, and that is really worth remembering. And of course, now in this era, Bill, where everything we say on social media and online is a permanent record of our use of language, our use of words, and how that reflects upon us, and how that either hurts or heals. You know, this is a very powerful way to live when we say the eyes of God are always upon us. Well, that's true in a very concrete way in terms of social media and the internet.
Exactly. Well, yesterday, with the announcement of the suicide of Kate Spade, Britt Hume was on with, I believe, with Tucker last night, and he said something that was very profound, and I've shared it with the audience a couple times. I think it's appropriate again to bring it back into focus. He said, he says you never know what someone else is going through, so be kind.
Yes. Let me put it differently. Okay. Jonathan Safran Foer, in his book, Here I Am, which came out a couple of years ago, said every person is wounded, and remembering a person's wounds makes it easier to forgive.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, this is being outside focus as opposed to inner focus.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Since you raised Kate Spade, I would like to make another point this morning, which is different than the one we've been discussing.
Okay.
But it's also something I deal with in this book, More Beautiful Than Before, in an essay called The Prisoner Cannot Free Himself. And it's an essay about the importance of reaching out when we're in pain, of being willing, humble enough, and willing to reach out for help. I just heard this morning before I left for the office from my wife that she heard or read, I don't know which, that Kate Spade was afraid to reach out for help with her mental illness because she feared it would affect her brand and her business. And I find that so terribly sad.
Right.
And this is a plea for everyone who suffers to reach out. The rabbis of the Talmud put it this way, the prisoner cannot free himself. Mm. We need help, and help is there. And when you reach out, you will be amazed at the number of people who will reach back to lift you from your suffering.
Yeah. Isolation really is a killer, isn't it?
The worst part of pain is the feeling of abandonment and isolation, that you're really in it alone. Yeah. And yet, when you reach out, yes, you'll be disappointed by some, Bill. There will be people who will let you down.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be many, many who will reach back with sensitivity and kindness and love.
Because we're all going through this journey, together, you know, at this point in time in our lives, dealing with, you know, the political environment, the religious environment, on and on, social media, all this stuff is coming at us, and we're all going through it. And we have a choice, you know, we could serve and be a blessing, or we can think about ourselves and, you know, be hurtful, you know, as the book of Proverbs reminds us, a word aptly spoken. There is just something about that spoken word or a kind gesture, a smile. So much can be said even in not speaking words.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, listen. The three most important lessons in life are to be kind, and to be kind.
Mm.
That's it. You know, there's a beautiful story again in the Talmud about when a baby is born, the rabbis say an angel is dispatched down from heaven to ask the child to swear an oath. And here's the oath the child is asked to swear. Be righteous and never cruel.
Mm.
That's it. You know, the child is not asked to be the most athletic or the most beautiful or the most intelligent or the wealthiest or the most popular. The child is simply asked to be righteous and kind. That is a rich and successful life. That is a successful human being.
Amen to that. Boy, I'll tell you that we'll leave it at that and let our listeners ponder on being righteous and not cruel. Rabbi Steve Leder, author of the book More Beautiful Than Before, How Suffering Transforms Us, available at all the usual places and linked on our website. Steve, thank you so much. God bless you. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
To speak with you.
Always.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code RADIO. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code RADIO. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code RADIO.
Hunters.